welcome back to another episode of the Witchology Podcast. We're at episode number 12 now, I think. I don't know why I'm finding that hard to remember. It's not that many. but yeah, we are back again, and it's so lovely to spend this time with you. This week, the episode is focused on finding your true path, and your, you know, potentially your heritage within that, and like who you are within it, and how it's you know, okay to explore some different things, and then discover or learn something else that then takes you on a different journey. So let's just get into it, shall we? So I have a bit of a different book review for you this week, but bear with me. So in today's interview, like I said, with the theme of the episode, I'm talking to the lovely Ella Harrison about finding the roots of your practice. You know, and a big part of that theme is you know, what we learn and how it shapes our path. So this week's book review is Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondences, a comprehensive and cross-referenced resource for pagans and Wiccans. So let's just have a bit of a synopsis. Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondences is a clear, straightforward companion for pagan and Wiccan ritual spellwork. Entries are cross-referenced, indexed, and organised by categories and subcategories, making it easy to find what you need. This comprehensive reference provides a fascinating look at why correspondences are more than just lists of objects to focus intent on, they are fundamental to how we think. When we use correspondences, we weave together our ideas, beliefs, and energy, creating deeper meaning in our rituals and spellwork as we unite individuality with a larger purpose. Now, many of you wonderful listeners will likely have this book sat on your shelf already, and you may be thinking, you know, Christy, get with the program. this book is old news, and I want to tell you that yes, it is old news, but it's also been sat on my bookshelf here for years, which is exactly why I thought it would be really good to highlight it and review it for any kind of new or newer witches listening in, you know, to go hand in hand with our conversation about developing your path. So this book isn't one that you sit and read from cover to cover, you know, but I mean, you could, but I'm not sure you'd get much out of it unless you had an eidetic memory. But it is one that once you buy, you'll be picking it up time and time and again. It's a compendium of correspondences of herbs, trees, plants, animals, days of the week, zodiac signs, you know, most of the things that you could think of that you would want to kind of correspond with. And it's really one of the keys to developing your own spells and your own rituals, you know, and really honing your practice and finding what it is that works for you, you know. It's always been immensely helpful to me, and I would, you know, I would recommend it to anyone, even if, you know, you don't practice witchcraft or, but maybe, you know, if you're a writer, an artist, or anyone that's kind of looking for links between things and symbology, then, it, you know, it's really good resource for all of those things. So, I mean, this review is becoming a bit like a declaration of my undying love for an old book. but, you know, I will allow it. But I will offer a, would I say a downside? I don't know, but here it is anyway. I know that no book can contain absolutely everything, but it doesn't have bay leaf in it. Unless I'm being really silly, or maybe I've just got an old edition, or just, I don't know, it just keeps eluding me, even though it's right there on the page. But I'm sure I've never found bay leaf in it anywhere, which is bizarre to me because it's used in so many things. But anyway, I would give this book 4 stars out of 5 and definitely recommend that you grab a copy if you don't have one already, especially if you are new to the path, or you have it, you know, you've been on it for a while, but you're not quite sure where you're going with things, or you're looking to kind of like amplify your practice and you're kind of not sure how. Yeah, this resource will give you what you need, I think. So, yeah. So my guest this week is the wonderful Ella Harrison. Ella is a folk witch who aspires to inspire and educate people about witchcraft and pagan practices. She holds a bachelor's degree in social and cultural anthropology and creates content on YouTube, Instagram, and Patreon. Ella also runs a small crystal shop with her fiancé called Silver Fern Crystals. Basically, you know, an all-round brilliant person. So welcome, Ella. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I was so excited in general for this podcast to be launched as well. I feel like that's just such a neat thing, I guess. And I'm just really excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Ella, if you don't know, Ella has written a few articles for us at Witchology, and will continue to for as long as she can part with us.
Exactly. Always happy that you're having me as well.
Yeah. So Ella is here this week to talk to us about how to find your route along the witchcraft path, particularly where it comes to finding your heritage within your practice, because you went through quite a journey with yours, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like that's kind of what people still kind of know me. If people know me, then not to be too presumptuous to assume everyone knows me, but if people know me, then most probably for my Wiccan YouTube videos. And that's kind of how I started out. And then on Instagram, that's kind of what I continued with. And it's only been somewhat recently, let's say 2 years, maybe 1 year, that I've kind of disconnected myself more from the Wiccan, Wiccan path, let's say, and more in the folk witchcraft area. And I've definitely had a journey of kind of what am I, because I think after I realized, you know, my practice isn't actually that Wiccan and I don't really connect that much anymore with it, I kind of was like, well, Norse paganism is kind of interesting, Druidry is kind of really interesting, you know, and I was just kind of what am I, you know?
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of labels going on at the moment, especially where I feel like everyone's just, oh, you know, you've got kitchen witchery and you've got eclectic witchcraft, and there's just a lot out there. And I think even for someone that's been practicing for a while, can get confusing at times.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming, can't it? And you kind of end up having a bit of an identity crisis where you're sort of like, well, I don't actually fit into any of these brackets, so what does that make me, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so I think for a while I was like, is this eclectic? Am I eclectic? But then I'm like, oh, but I do kind of specifically like to be more in the German and somewhat Celtic area, at least. And so then you don't want too many labels in your bio either, right? So it definitely took me a while to figure out what fits for me. And I think with folk witchcraft, folk magic, that's a very nice sort of, it's almost like its own little umbrella term, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's kind of where I really prefer to be in, because it's still open and general enough, but it's more, I kind of see it more like it being separated into the two distinct sort of ceremonial versus folk magic. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's easy enough for me to identify with. But yeah, identity is such an interesting thing for me in general. I wrote my bachelor thesis on ethnic identity. It's always something that I'm like interested in and I love chatting about too.
Mm. Yeah, and it's really interesting that you started with Wicca as well, because I find that because it's kind of a pipeline that a lot of witches have kind of gone through, I think, because as we know, Wicca came about in what, the 70s 80s, as a more palatable kind of witchcraft, and I think that's why it feels okay for that to be kind of the gateway. Okay, well, I would describe myself as Wiccan because that's a bit more palatable somehow. You know, we've kind of held on to that feeling like it's more palatable than anything else.
It's more easy to digest, I think. And I think because it was such a popular one, I mean, I came to witchcraft and Wicca specifically when I was about 11. And I grew up in a very sort of spiritual, which kind of crafty family anyway. We have a lot of spirit stories, and my Oma taught me tarot and pendulum and like palm reading and things like that, and like crystals and all of that sort of stuff. And then I think my mom got me Teen Witch by Silver Ravenwolf. And I think that's the beginning for a lot of people, where you start out with Wicca because it was very easily accessible. Had so many books on it, and it seemed that almost all books, at least books that you could get very easily that were in like general bookstores, they were always Wiccan. And so I think for a lot of people that was kind of the gateway drug, let's say.
Yeah, that's always either Wicca or Tarot, that's the
yeah, exactly. And so I think a lot of people probably kind of feel the same way with Wicca, is where you start, and then sometimes people stick with it and sometimes people move from it. And I still love Wicca for a lot of reasons. It's still in my heart and everything. It's just not for me now anymore. And I think sometimes you just have that growth with, and not even growth as in like, oh, Wicca is only for beginners. Like, I don't think that at all, because I do think there's a lot of, you know, growth and just magic within Wicca that you can really stick to for most of your life, even if you wanted to. But sometimes you as a person just move in different directions and you discover maybe something else is just more for you and things like that. And sometimes you kind of go through, I went through a phase where it's like, oh, I felt guilty almost for moving away from Wicca, because I was like, Wicca has raised me in some ways. I was like, oh gosh, can I really leave Wicca?
But yeah, because I guess when we're on that, it goes hand in hand with, especially if you're starting with it quite young, like pre-teenager, then it goes hand in hand with finding your identity and that kind of thing. And you're kind of like searching these different things and kind of trying them on. And I think it's about remembering that it's okay to do that, because you're absolutely right, like getting that guilt of thinking, well, you know, I so wholeheartedly made this my identity before, or like was a huge part of my identity before. If I let that go, what does that mean? Does it mean I'm inauthentic, or does it mean that it wasn't, do you know what I mean, when actually it doesn't mean that at all. It's just, it's part of the path.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I think sometimes we think we need to like completely let something go and no longer at all associate ourselves with that anymore. And I think part of, at least for me, I still value a lot of the Wiccan concepts and, you know, practices and things like that. It's definitely still a part of me, and it probably will always be. And I think people are much more fluid, and constricting yourself can sometimes become a, you know, detrimental sort of thing, where we then box ourselves in too much and we don't allow ourselves to grow, maybe because of because we feel guilt, or because we have certain ideas in our mind of how things need to work, and it doesn't always work like that.
Yeah, definitely. So was there a, for you, was there a practice that you learned about, or something, or like a thing that kind of triggered your move, I don't say move away from Wicca, but like you say, because you never kind of fully let it go, but to kind of transition into a slightly different way of practicing, was there one thing that was like, oh, this has opened a whole new door for me? Or
I really liked Keldon's Crooked Path, that book. And I think that's kind of when I read that book, I'm not sure if I was just in a little bit of a bubble or echo chamber, but I started to see folk magic and folk witchcraft pop up much more in general. I think especially now it's kind of really had a resurgence, let's say, because it's never been gone or away. It's always been, you know, but I think people are now really being starting to see that and like, oh, that's really interesting. And I think that happened for me too. A few years ago, I want to say 3-4 years ago, I started to just realize more that there's something else other than Wicca. And I obviously was aware that there's more paths than just Wicca. But I never really thought that any other path would fit me better. And then when I read that book, I was like, this is really quite up my alley, and probably much more of how I actually practice. I kind of realized I'm a bad Wiccan, because, you know, obviously not, but I was a little bit of under the impression where I was like, maybe I'm not as Wiccan as I thought I was, where my practices and the things that I do, my rituals and the way that I just kind of practice, aren't actually very Wiccan at all. And then I read an article about Frau Holle. She is the Germanic goddess who I also obviously wrote about in the newest witchology article. And that one was like, I started crying because I had such a realization and was such a, like, I could feel like a hand on my shoulder moment of, oh my gosh, this is the goddess that I've always kind of felt walking alongside me growing up, thinking I was Wiccan. And I've always just said the goddess, like I would always just refer to her or that energy as the goddess. And then I had that moment of realization and I was like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely fascinating. And I went down that path of going more into German folk magic and folk witchcraft and realizing that that's actually a thing and it does exist. And it felt very much like home. And obviously folk witchcraft does feel like home for a lot of people because it's so connected to every person's environment and culture. And so for a lot of people, they realize that a lot of things that they already do is or can be folk magic and folk witchery. And that's at least for folk witchcraft, right? I don't want to just promote folk witchcraft here, but that's at least for me in my journey. And I think, I just had one of those stumble down the rabbit hole situations.
Yeah. Wow. What a profound, it's a really nice, profound moment to have to kind of connect to with that, with your, I don't know, true practice, would we say? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's opening a can of worms a little bit saying true practice, because it's always like it's continually evolving, isn't it? It's sort of, and I think that's the point of this conversation, is to kind of reflect on how it does evolve. And I think you're absolutely right in, or I absolutely resonate with what you're saying about how it's, especially going into folk witchcraft specifically, you're kind of, it goes with your integration with your own surroundings and getting to know the land and getting to know everything, in the space around you. Because I think when most of us start, especially like sort of modern witches, they start on this journey on their own a lot of the time, even if we're from families that kind of have witchiness about them, in terms of like actually exploring witchcraft as a whole thing, well, a lot of us start on our own, don't we? So it's sort of like, well, you kind of pick up these broader concepts that are almost universal, and then it kind of boils down into something very personal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think especially when you're a beginner, or if you're just still trying to find yourself, there's a lot of, I wouldn't call it noise, but there's just so much to pick from, especially now with so many things being published and so many creators and practitioners out there sharing what they practice. And I feel like, I remember this was on Pinterest actually, where there was this huge graphic that tried to explain the umbrella term of witchcraft, and they kind of split it into there's Wicca, there's paganism, and it's very for someone that is new, it can be difficult to know what to even look for, especially if you're a little, and it doesn't necessarily have to be when you're younger. I feel like this can definitely be the case for someone who's maybe in their mid-30s or, you know, any age range, I think, where sometimes you just go through identity crisis. Could you say crisis?
Yeah.
And I think especially going from a teen to an adult, and you have these shifts in your own life that sometimes they reflect in your practice too. And I'm sure my path will probably still be changing in the next years. And then maybe in 10 years, I'll identify as something else once again. But I mean, we shift a lot as humans. And I think that reflects a lot in witchcraft too. And I think for me also moving a lot has always kind of shifted things for me, because I grew up as a military kid. And so we've always moved from different country to country. And I definitely see my practice having that shift too. But with that also has always come that identity crisis where it's like, who am I? Because of moving so often. I think a lot of people that move a lot probably know what I'm talking about. But yeah,
because you kind of, especially when we talk about like cultural heritage and like finding, I mean, I know that we're talking about finding your heritage and your practice, mm-hmm. In this conversation, but where, when you start thinking about that, all those kind of conversations lead down the path of like, you find this one thing, you find that one kernel about yourself, and that's your thing, when actually
something, there's a lot to be said. I mean, I can't speak from personal experience because I'm not someone that has moved around a lot. I've lived in the UK all my life. But I don't know, just from what you were sort of describing, it's almost like a really beautiful mosaic of practices that you would have picked up across all of those different experiences of your life, which I think, it's really interesting to kind of learn more about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at least for me, I've lived in Germany for most of the time, though not on one consecutive end. And then I've lived in Belgium for 4 years, and Italy for 4 years, and then Latvia for 4 years. And then obviously Australia and New Zealand as well. And especially the Italian experience was really interesting for me because I felt incredibly disconnected, actually. And then going from being very disconnected to moving to Latvia, because I moved from Italy to Latvia. And Latvia is a very pagan country. Like, there's a lot of pagan symbols, and there's a lot of kind of little things that are still steeped in that, or like a resurgence of it more so. And I was kind of thrown into that, where it then also again shaped me to be different once again. And you kind of start adapting once again, and you're ever changing as well, where it definitely can get confusing to, first of all, explain who you even are and what makes you you. And I think for witchcraft, that can be very easily said as well, where a lot of people, I think, we are interested in many different things, and then pinpointing one specific thing that we want to focus on can be very, very hard. And then also finding the information for that. So with me wanting to, or me connecting more with my German heritage, it's sometimes difficult to find reading material, and that can sometimes stand in the way, where we have these little problems that make it not so easy. Whereas, for example, going back with Wicca, right, that was so accessible. And now it can sometimes become very difficult to finding a path that you really connect with when there's not that much information out there, or not necessarily yet.
Yeah, exactly. Because it leans more on the, I can't remember what the term is, but where those kind of traditions and practices are handed down verbally, you know, and you need to have met other people that do it, you know, and they kind of pass those traditions on to you. And that's something that most of us don't have access to, you know, and mm-hmm. even if there might be a community close by, or even online, I don't know, there's still, like, I don't know, I don't want to say gatekeeping, because that's not what I mean, but that almost a little bit like there is, and I'm not talking about closed practices, that's a whole other conversation, but like some things that just aren't as shared as widely, like you say, like with Wicca, where it is just so widely accessible.
Yeah, sometimes there's language barriers. I see that a lot with my fiance is Latvian pagan. Mm-hmm. And so I see that a lot, where there's just a language barrier. Even if you go as simple as a Wikipedia page, if you look it up in English, the Wikipedia page for the Latvian pagan, you know, topic at hand is maybe 3 sentences, whereas the Latvian page is going to be like pages. And you'd have that for German too, where things are just either not translated. Though sometimes I do almost get the sense that with certain areas, I almost feel like there is a sense of like wanting to keep it more secret, which I find very interesting as well. And very, that's a different kind of forms, of course, but it certainly can be difficult to finding your community when you don't know if there is a community, or where to even look, and how to get into that if you don't know the terms that you're trying to look for. Obviously, it's a lot easier now to find things because of the internet, whereas books might have been harder to get, or finding actual local communities have, you know, not always existed, especially back, you know, in the 90s or whatever. So it's definitely gotten easier, especially with social media. But I still think because of that, there it's like a double-edged sword, where yes, it's easier to find all these different paths, but then because there's so many, and that can sometimes feel very overwhelming, I think, for sure. And then finding or narrowing down what exactly, and I think also to a certain degree, do you want to box yourself into one? Like if you find several paths that you find very beautiful and that you think you resonate with? Do you want to only be one thing, or do you want to just head down that one path? Like for me, for example, my dad's side of the family is English Scottish, and I definitely want to dabble more into that too and research more and everything, right? But it's like, well, I should focus on the one thing first before I start the next thing, because otherwise it's just too much all at once. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things where you let yourself have the time and don't stress yourself too much either, because I think that's when we start having anxiety, and sometimes that can then become almost like a wall and we're not able to pass that because we're holding ourselves back with, oh my gosh, there's so much. Whereas if we just take one day by the day and we're like, okay, I'll do this today, and then maybe in 2 years I'll look at the next topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think it's reminding ourselves as well what we're doing it for. Like, okay, well, mm-hmm. why is it that you are looking into all of these things? Why is it that you practice witchcraft in the first place? And, you know, and just reminding yourself that it is for you. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to be meeting any expectation from anywhere else. You know, it's all completely, it's your path, and that's the point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it depends, I guess, for different people it might be different, but for me, considering I create content as well, I definitely sometimes feel like I have an expectation to read as much as I possibly can in a very short amount of time to then be able to talk about it and things like that. And sometimes you just have to remind yourself, I'm also on this journey just like everyone else. And to take it slow and not to overwhelm myself with certain expectations, either from myself or from that I think it's from the outside, but it's actually just myself, once again, putting that expectation on myself. Whereas I think a lot of finding your path is just letting it come naturally to you too. I say this as well for people, when someone asks me for any kind of advice or tips, I'm always like, you know, just pick one topic that you find interesting and it'll snowball from there. You'll most likely stumble upon the next topic in a different book that you find interesting, and you can go really from there, and it'll just probably naturally come to you without you having to do too much legwork yourself. But yeah
definitely. I always say the same thing as well, like always look at the references and footnotes and mm-hmm. anything that you read, because it's always going to then give you more and more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think sometimes books, the best part about a book is the bibliography and the references, because that'll lead you on.
Definitely. So if anyone's listening who they're thinking, okay, well, I'm quite new on my path, or I've been on this one route on the path for a long time, and I'm starting to feel slightly disconnected from it, or I can't quite work it out, or I don't really know why I'm feeling disconnected from my practice or from myself right now. You know, mindful that there might be some other things going on in life that might cause that. But let's say you've done all the work that you need to do and you've found that actually it's your witchcraft practice specifically that you're feeling disconnected from. What would you recommend to be a good place to start in terms of, okay, well, maybe there's something about my practice that I need to change. Maybe I need to find something a bit more to do with my own heritage, and where would I find that? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I feel like this is an interesting question, because I feel like it can be answered in so many different ways. I think my personal approach would probably be, I like to journal about my emotions. And so yeah, I would
love
probably...
it. I mean, you know me, I love a journal.
Yeah.
I support this message.
Exactly. So I think I would journal about it first and really kind of try and investigate where exactly I'm feeling this sort of stagnancy, is that a word? This wall, this blockage, and then be like, okay, am I bored? Am I feeling overwhelmed? Am I like, what exactly is this that I'm feeling and experiencing? And in which area is it? And then I kind of would have a look at what parts of my practice do I actually enjoy? And what are the parts that I don't really enjoy? So for example, when I was more in still Wicca, I really was like, okay, I really enjoy the entire element of nature, animism. I really enjoy the focus on trees and things like that. So the more, I really like the foundational sort of things. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. The things that I do not resonate with at all is, and I felt like it was a chore, were the ceremonial rituals. I was like, ugh, you know, another full moon ritual. Ugh. And I was just not feeling it. And I'm just going to skip this one. And then I skipped the last five, you know? And so I think it was like, okay, so if I'm really interested in this specific area of my practice, maybe I really resonate more with the herbal aspect. I really like actually crafting things. I feel like that's a good point to look at and be like, okay, well, can I incorporate more of that into my practice? Can I just type in that keyword, as a matter of fact, maybe buy a book? And I like to read, and or maybe a YouTube video, you know, be like, okay, well, I really like herbalism, let's say. I'm just taking herbalism as an example. All right. And then type that in, and then maybe purchase a book and maybe read that. And I feel like I get a lot of inspiration from that, or again, YouTube or podcasts or anything like that, where I get once again inspired because it's a new topic. I also have ADHD, so I like to kind of jump around a lot, you know. But that definitely is something that I would probably say journal, figure out what parts you do enjoy and what parts are making you feel not so connected anymore, and leave behind the things that don't make you feel great, and then see if you can find a new aspect that you really do resonate with. Or sometimes I feel like we have to just pick up a book that we would have never picked up 5 years ago and say, okay, well, this is completely new, completely different. I have no clue about this topic whatsoever. Couldn't tell you a word about it. And then pick up that book and see if you resonate with that at all. Maybe you won't, but maybe you will. But at least you kind of, you know, figured out that's a topic that you like, or that's a topic that you really don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Because even if I know that, I mean, this goes for anything really. It's our tendency as humans to kind of feel like if you're going to invest time into something, then it'll be a waste of time if it turns out that you're not interested in it or nothing comes of it or whatever. And actually, I'm not a believer in that at all, that anything's ever a waste of time. Because even if you get to the end of that process and you're like, actually, no, this really isn't for me, you've still mm-hmm. learned something. So it's still like, don't feel like you have to invest time, or don't feel like there's a risk in investing time in these things, because you're still going to learn something either way, even if it's going to be that actually, no, this isn't for me, or it doesn't resonate with me, or whatever.
Absolutely. You've learned something about yourself. Exactly. And, you know, even if that topic doesn't interest you whatsoever, I feel like astrology is that one for me where I'm like, it is interesting. But whenever I try to like learn about it, I'm like, nah,
yeah,
it's just not for me, you know?
Yeah, there's something always a little bit too scientific about it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's just too much, you know? It's just too mathematical for me too. I'm not a very mathematical person. There's just too many numbers.
Yeah, too many numbers. Stop talking to me about degrees and whatever. I can't,
no,
I don't
exactly.
want to have to get my protractor out.
No, exactly. So yeah, you just have, I feel like dabbling is a great thing. Just dabble in like a bunch of different things. And if you can, I am a big advocate for Scribd, because it's this book online. It's kind of like Kindle and Audible and whatnot, but this one's one that has a lot of witchcraft books, and I love that because I'm just like, this book, you know, and then I just add a billion books to my list, and then I always just flick through them and I'm like, this looks really interesting, let me like read this book. So I feel like, or if you go to the library and you just have a little browse and look around what books you really resonate with, and then usually you can kind of pinpoint, this is really piquing my interest, and then I would write that down, I would journal that once again and be like, okay, I'm really interested in this. And then I think that's a nice thing to come back to as well. So if you ever feel like you are in a rut and you don't know what to look towards, you can always go back to that page of my interests, because sometimes we forget too, yeah. Where I'm like, oh yeah, good point, I did like that topic, didn't I? And then you can go back and try that out, for example. So I know you would definitely agree with this message. Journaling is really great for that sort of thing, for discovering your own path and just finding out what you like and what works for you. And again, I feel like we have an expectation sometimes where it's like, well, I should like this because maybe I'm in that kind of family, or maybe that's my environment. And it's like, well, you don't really need to stick to those expectations, just completely go with what makes you feel good. I think that's a lot of times the key with witchcraft, or, you know, it's the kind of self-empowering aspect of witchcraft, where we do allow ourselves to walk the path that we want to walk, rather than something that our parents have given us or friends expect of us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot to be said for remembering where witchcraft kind of comes from, like remembering and delving into the kind of historical roots of witchcraft and thinking, well, you know, when did it start being known as witchcraft? When did people who practice it start being known as witches? And what about all that time before, kind of thing? And exploring different things either to read or well, mostly it's going to be reading, but what other kind of things can you engage with to learn from that don't have a witchcraft label as such, but you know, actually inform your practice and your relationship with, I don't know, different herbs or plants and trees and whatever, as well, like not forgetting any of that.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, for me, again, anthropology was really, really great. And I think that's something, and I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I actually think it's a really good idea for people to read anthropology and just things that are more out of an anthropological perspective rather than it being a witchcraft book, because again, there is a lot of magic and ritual and ceremony and things like that in other books that aren't in the witchcraft category. I mean, once again, herbalism is an excellent one that you can very easily buy books on, and they're not directly linked to witchcraft. But again, for me, my anthropology course was really fascinating because we actually had a religion and ritual class for a semester. And we looked at the different practices around the world. And it's very fascinating because we call it witchcraft, but other cultures don't or would never call it witchcraft. And it's really interesting to see, so what do they practice? And do I, you know, resonate with that? Again, you have to be very cautious, of course, with that. But if you look into your own kind of culture, sometimes you come across things where you didn't really realize that this could be part of witchcraft. And reading about your own history is, I think, a really great way to figure out what might resonate with you too. Again, I think, first of all, it's obviously very important to research the history of witchcraft in general, period. But then I think it's really nice to go into, well, what about my where I live, for example, like what has the relationship with witchcraft been like for here, where I am? Because I think that can give you a nice idea as well of what you might work with, just because you already kind of grew up with certain things naturally anyway. And once again, it might be very easy for you to then get into that and not make it too complicated, where if we look at, for example, ceremonial magic, sometimes that can be very distanced from us, where it's like, okay, this is a really fascinating topic, but it's never been relevant necessarily, right, for where I live. So therefore it's this huge monster we would have to tackle. Whereas if you look at something that's maybe more local and maybe more integrated into your own culture, it's more easy to get into because you're already somewhat familiar with it.
Yeah, definitely. So my final question about all of this is just something to do, again, with yourself and your own journey. What difference did it make when you found that exploring your Germanic heritage within your witchcraft practice, what difference did it make to you in yourself? Like, how did you feel? Like, what did it give you? You know?
Oh, I like that question. It kind of made me feel like I finally found home in a way, where I was like, it almost felt like I constantly was in the forest, just looking around, and I finally found the hut, you know? And it finally gave me a direction and like a proper sort of feeling of settling, essentially. It's like a finally I can breathe out and I have found something that I really resonate with and that I can really start tackling as well. And for me, it's still relatively new. I have not read all of the history within, you know, German and Germanic folk witchcraft and, you know, all that. There are so many books that I still want to read, but it's kind of given me this drive of like a new kind of excitement as well, I guess you could say. You know, when you start a new project, it's quite exciting usually. But it's kind of given me, it's interesting because my relationship with my personal identity has definitely been like so-so as well. I grew up always kind of saying, I'm not German, I'm a Kiwi. And there's a lot of reasons for that. German identity specifically can be very hard because of our history, right? And so and especially then living in different countries. And so I would very much distance myself from being German and being associated with German. And I try to really train out my German accent and things like that. And I think it kind of felt like, oh, this is really interesting because, and I'm still learning and I'm still somewhat struggling with really saying I am German, you know, where it's kind of given me not a different perspective, but it's kind of just given me more of like a acceptance of who I am and of myself that I think I didn't have before, where I'm now much more accepting of the fact that I am German and, you know, that's my history and I want to do better and I want to learn and I want to make an effort to make the world a better place. But it's definitely given me more of that identity.
I love that for you as well, that finally feeling like you're coming home and being able to explore that part of yourself that you kind of didn't give yourself permission to before. That sounds like, yeah, really strong, really powerful journey.
Yeah, I feel like, and I'm, you know, definitely not saying it's easy, but it's definitely a journey that is, I think, worth walking. But it can definitely be hard, especially with certain aspects, of course, of it, you know, but I think it's, again, tying into shadow work and all that. It definitely is a great journey, but it can be a very difficult journey. But I think from it, hopefully I come out in a very positive way where I've learned a lot about myself and people around me. Definitely.
Well, this has been so fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I have one last question that's completely unrelated to anything.
Okay.
And that is, if there were going to be an Ella Harrison movie about your life and your journey from Wicca into, you know, folk witchery and everything, who would play you in that movie?
Oh, God. I'm going to say, because I adore her and it would probably be the biggest honor of my life, I would probably die on the spot out of honor, would be Emilia Clarke.
Oh yeah. Oh, she played good you actually. You've got a very similar face shape.
Thank you.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's like the biggest compliment. But no, I think for her, I think she's just, her eyebrows, I think, would be a great expression of the I think she's very expressive. Yeah. And I think that would be a very interesting kind of being able to be portraying all of the journeys and ups and downs of my life. If you ever seen Emilia Clarke's eyebrows, they go up and down, and I think that's my life. And so I feel like that would be really, really great. But yeah, probably Emilia Clarke.
Oh, that's a good choice. Solid choice. I could see that as well. I think that's a really appropriate.
Thank you.
So thank you so much again for spending all this time and letting me ask you my ridiculous question.
I loved it.
It's been such a pleasure having you on the show. So thank you.
Thank you again.
So thank you very much for tuning in again today. It has been an absolute pleasure. If you like this episode, you can enjoy it ad-free by becoming a Witchology subscriber. Not only do you get access to this podcast and lots of bonus episodes, you will also get a print subscription to our magazine, as well as cauldrons full of additional content on our exclusive members area on the website. Head to witchologymagazine.com/subscriptions to find out more. Until next time, goodbye.